The last time we started with talked about Jacob, who crossed his hands and made sure that Ephraim, who was placed on the left, got the right hand and got the prominent blessing, and Manasseh. So he, even though Ephraim was the second born, Manasseh was the first born. But these are Jacob's words. You'll see Jacob's words before we get into the next passage here. Here are Jacob's words from Genesis chapter 48 and verse 15. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. He, that is Jacob, blessed Joseph and said, "The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked." Okay, the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac. So Isaac walked with God. What does that mean when you walk with God? Are you walking with God? It's a form of fellowship and obedience, staying with God, staying with God as you walk. You're walking with God. You ever walk with somebody? You take a walk. Let's walk together. And you're walking with God. It's a form of your lifestyle. Your life is committed to God and to God's ways. So here he says, the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked. They had fellowship then with God. God is a fellowshipping God. God likes to fellowship with us. He likes to talk with us. He likes to walk with us. He likes to be close to us. So Abraham and Isaac walked with God. Not just Abraham walked with God, but Isaac, even though he had this idea, he wanted to give the blessing to Esau, he walked with God. He fellowshiped with God. And in verse 16, Genesis 48, verse 16, the God who has blessed the God who has been my shepherd, Jacob is saying. Jacob's saying these words now. Jacob's saying, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day. So Abraham and Isaac walked with God, but God has been my shepherd. Well, when you say God is your shepherd, what exactly are you saying? What's a shepherd do? He cares for the sheep. He takes care of the sheep. He protects the sheep. He feeds the sheep, right? He makes sure they're in and out of the storms and away from the wolves and the lions and things. Okay? He says, the God who has been my shepherd. This is the God they had fellowship with. So verse 15 goes that he blessed, Jacob blessed Joseph and said, the God with whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked. The God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day. The angel who has redeemed me from all evil. So God was his redeemer, bringing him back, which means, you know, when you step into evil and God brings you back and forgives you, you got a new slate. You got a new, completely new start. So God is a forgiving God. God is a fellowshipping God. God is a providing God because if he's your shepherd, he's going to provide for you. He's going to protect you. He's a protecting God. In Genesis 48, 15 and 16 says a lot. And then he says, let that God, okay, the one who saved me from all evil, let him bless the lads. And may my name be on them and the names of my fathers Abraham and Isaac. And may they grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. So he blessed Ephraim and Manasseh, Joseph's kids. And they were supposed to grow into a huge nation, huge into the middle of the earth. Then you have, let's come now to Hebrews chapter 11. This is Joseph's faith, okay? Listen to Joseph's faith. Hebrews 11, verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying. It's kind of an emotional thing to hear, isn't it? Joseph, this young guy that was so smart, so sharp, yet he was kind of arrogant there as a little boy. He was his dad's favorite, and the other brothers were upset with him, and they sold him into Egypt, you know, and he did everything right, and God led him to this, led him through this, and the next thing you know, he was the second man in control of Egypt, a powerhouse. He saved his family. That Joseph now, as the years went by, as the years go by for all of us, Joseph was now dying. He made mention, listen to this, this is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22. He made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. Not concerning his flesh, because he knew he was going to be buried. He didn't know how long is it going to be before you guys go, but take my bones. You know what happens to people after, even after they've been embalmed? What happens? You put them in the grave, and after a while, the flesh still disintegrates, and what you have left is just bones, the skeleton of our bodies. That's it. And he says, take my bones. Now, take my bones with you. And here's his statement. Listen to the statement of faith. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 50, and you'll see it here in chapter 50, verse 24. Joseph said to his brothers, I am about to die. He's getting old now. Whatever brothers he had left, maybe they outlived him because, you know, he had a rough life. He had a tough life, and then he had also a luxurious life up in Egypt. He may have not, you know, sometimes you just have, you know, do you ever see in a family, sometime older brothers will outlive younger brothers? And you know, you never know. And sometimes they don't. But sometimes they do. I am about to die, he said, but God, listen to this statement, God will surely take care of you. You and your families, and bring you up from this land to the land which he promised on an oath to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Now here you're dying. You're saying, I'm going to die. I want you, but God's going to take care of you. He's going to take you out of here. Listen to that faith. Listen to that belief. Into the future, into things he cannot see, but a belief that he had that was going to take place because he trusted God. And a belief he had, listen to this. He said, because God promised it with an oath. Then Joseph made the sons of Israel, the sons of Israel swear, saying, God, the previous verse, repeat, God will surely take care of you, and you shall carry my bones up from here. You're leaving Egypt. God's going to take you out of Egypt. And I want you to take my bones with you. So Joseph died at the age of 110 years old, and he was embalmed and placed in a coffin in Egypt. But even if you place it in a coffin, you know, it's going to end up being, you know, the flesh will decay. Even if you're embalmed, the flesh will decay away, and all you'll have left in a few years or a few months, whatever, are bones, the bones. So listen to his positive, absolute statement. God will surely take care of you. He'll take care of you. He will bring you out of this land. I'm so positive. I'm telling you now, I want you to swear to me that when you leave here, you're going to take my bones with you. And God's going to take you out of here, out of the land of Egypt, and take you to the land he promised. And you swear to me that you'll take my bones with you. No hesitancy, no doubt whatsoever. And why? Because it was based on what? Based on God's promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For this reason, Paul says, listen to how Paul says, for this reason, I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. So Paul says, I know, my belief is certain, I know whom I have believed. Faith is believing God. That's what it is. It's not some magical thing you imagine. Faith is believing what God says and then doing it. Yes, Joseph was bold and not ashamed of his faith. He had God's promises. He based it on God's promises. He was unlike another Joseph years later. You know, years later there was another Joseph. And his name was Joseph of Arimathea. We see it here in John chapter 19. After Jesus was crucified, it says in John 19 verse 38, later Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jews. He feared them. So I don't want to tell anybody I'm Jesus' disciple. I don't want to say I'm Jesus' disciple. I don't want to let anybody know I believe this. I don't want anybody to know that. In today's world, because most of Christianity has gone to Sunday keeping, we don't want to let anybody know we keep the Sabbath. We don't want anybody to know we observe these annual days. We don't want to let anybody know. Just don't tell anybody. You know what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33? Whoever, listen to this phrase, whoever acknowledges me before men, I mean mankind, anybody, men and women, the word anthropos, it means people. Whoever acknowledges me before people, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before people, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. So it's not enough just to be a secret. I believe, but I won't let anybody know. I'm a secretive disciple. Nobody knows I believe in him because I don't want anybody to know it because I'm afraid they're going to be upset with me. They're going to hurt me. They're going to be persecuting me. Joseph honored God. Joseph was a man who did honor God. He spoke boldly about this, but he honored God, okay, by saying what God promised, that he will surely take care of you and he will bring you from this land that he promised to, and into the land he promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, Joseph, if you read the story of Joseph, I won't take all the time because it's a lot of verses, but Joseph always gave God credit. He always seemed to give God the credit. You notice in chapter 41 and verse 16, Joseph answered the Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, you know, do you have, can you interpret dreams? And Joseph answered the Pharaoh saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. I can't do that. It's God who will give you the favorable answer that you need. Okay? Not in me. It's in God. It's God. So here he says, then he says in chapter 41 and verse 25, now Joseph said to Pharaoh, Pharaoh's dreams are one and the same. God has told to Pharaoh what he is about to do. It's God who's done it. And in verse 32 of the same chapter, chapter 41 of Genesis, verse 32, now as for the repeating of the dream to Pharaoh twice, it means that the matter is determined by God, and God will quickly bring it about. So he gives the credit. I can't do it. It's God's going to show you this. God's going to do this. God's going to do it at a favorable time. And when we go back to Joseph's statement, I'm going to take you out of the land of Egypt. You're going to go to the place. You're going to have, take my bones with you, because God will surely take care of you. And he will take you out of this land. He was forecasting the Exodus, which didn't happen for quite some time from Joseph's time. It was a while. He was dead, buried, and I'm sure his bones were going to be the only thing left of him. The basis of Joseph's faith was this statement back in the book of Genesis chapter 15, beginning in verse 13. God said to Abram, "Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed 400 years. But I will also judge the nation whom they will serve, and afterward they will come out with many possessions. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You will be buried at a good old age. Then in the fourth generation they will return here, for the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet complete." So this is what God spoke to Abram. You're going to die. You're going to go to your fathers, and all this is going to happen. But eventually, your seed is going to be oppressed for a period of 400 years. Okay? 400 years. Now, there seems to be, you'll see a difference between the 400 years. They will be, here's another translation, they will be enslaved and oppressed 400 years. There seems to be a difference between this verse, that's Genesis 15 and verse 13, and what is mentioned in Acts chapter 7 and verse 6. Here's what, this verse, Genesis 15, verse 13, and Acts 7, verse 6, both say 400 years. Remember when Stephen was speaking, giving a defense there? And here's what Stephen said, Acts 7, verse 6. God spoke to him in this way, "Your descendants will be strangers in a country not theirs, and they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. Stephen says 400 years. But in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 40, here's what we read. "Now the length of time the Israelite people lived in Egypt was 430 years. And in verse 41, "At the end of the 430 years, to the very day, all the Lord's divisions left Egypt." So the people all left on the 430 years. And Paul uses the phrase 430 years also. Look at Galatians. So you have two scriptures saying 400 years, two scriptures saying 430 years. Galatians 3, verse 17. "What I mean," Paul writes, "the law introduced 430 years later, from the time of Abraham," Abraham got the promises. Paul is saying the law, which came 430 years later, that's at Mount Sinai, "does not set aside the covenant previously established by God and thus do away with the promise." So we come to this phrase. Now, I had always taken, you know, I just took it without doing much delving into it and seeing that 400 years. They were in Egypt 400 years. It says they were in Egypt 400 years. So I said, okay, they were in Egypt 400 years. Now, one of our congregation, who had studied this a lot, challenged me on that several times. "David, you know, it can't be 400 years in Egypt. How can it be?" And I said, "Well, Steve, I believe God." And but Steve showed me that I was wrong in somebody on this. So here's what the Septuagint and the Samaritan Pentateuch, they take the 430-year period as the time of the patriarchs' time, both in Canaan and Egypt. You know, you say, well, they spent time in Egypt 430 years. Well, you know, Abraham, one of the first things he did was go down to Egypt. You remember that's when he said to the Pharaoh, you know, tell Sarah, tell him you're my sister. Don't tell him you're my wife. So he was in Egypt. Isaac was in Egypt part of the time. They had sojourned in and through Egypt and back up into the other land, and they'd gone through these various places. So it appears that sojourn was a it started maybe way back, the 430 years to Sinai, not to the time they left Egypt, to Sinai, evidently started at the time of Abraham and maybe at the time that Isaac was born. The rabbis say that these years extend from the birth of Isaac until the Exodus, that it has to take into account Genesis 15, verse 16. You remember verse 16 says, in the fourth generation, they will return here. Fourth generation. Now, if a generation is 100 years, and we don't know that, if it's 40 years, as it often was in the book of Judges, 40 years here and 40 years there, you know, the word 40 is used, then four generations, 160 years. If it's 100 years, you got to start it back with Abraham, then you could go forward, maybe that would be 400 years. But they did not, what I'm convinced of now, that they did not spend 400 years in Egypt as slaves. Okay. That's what they didn't do. And it mentions they come out in the fourth generation, and to our best computation, that period, you know, depends on whether what a generation is. Okay, now think about Joseph. Joseph is saying, take my bones with you, because God will surely, not God might, not I think God will, it is possible that God will do this. He didn't say that. God will surely take care of you, and God will take you out of here to that land that he promised with an oath. The promise was with an oath. And God doesn't lie if God said, yes, I'll do it, let alone with an oath that I will do it. So he had great faith. Now, think about his faith. He did not have the book of Genesis to rely on. He did not have this Bible. He did not have our history. He did not have anything. He was relying on what his fathers had told him. Here's Joseph. What did Jacob tell him? What did Isaac tell him? What did Abram tell him? Well, this is what God said to me. God said this. Isaac says, yeah, God said that. And Jacob said, yes, God told me the same promise, and we're going to have this promise. He relied on these statements. He didn't have an absolute document. He didn't have all the inspired scripture we have. He remembered from his forefathers. And we have, you know, if the Bible is a lamp to our feet, we have a lot of light today, comparatively. We have so much light to direct our path, because we have the Word of God, we have all the studies, we have the history, we have all the language understandings that were not available for many generations. And he didn't have much light. We walk in a great deal of light. He walked in a very little bit of light, but he had great faith. We walk in a little bit, a lot of light. How much faith do we have? How great is our faith? With all the light, the shedding of the scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, all safe enough for us, all translated various ways, all kinds of helps, all kinds of understandings and Bible dictionaries and commentaries and all that. How much faith do we have with all the light that we walk in? Here's what Romans said about Jesus Christ and what he came to do. For I say that Christ has become a servant to the circumcision on behalf of the truth of God, to confirm the promises given to the fathers. So Jesus Christ, one of his acts, one of his purposes in coming to earth was to confirm the promises given to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. And Joseph said, that's the basis of my faith, what my fathers told me. Jacob told me, and his father Isaac told him, and his father Abraham told him. And Jesus came to say, that promise was true and certain. He came to confirm the promises given to the fathers. And Paul says, you know what? You're not going to come in here and tell me that some law coming later is going to take away those promises. Absolutely not. Did Abraham receive the promise before the law? Yes. The law was not given. All the great commandments and all the book of the law was not given to Abraham. He knew morality, yes, but he didn't have all the laws. He built, you know, under Moses' time, you're not allowed to build an altar. You cannot build an altar. After the Mosaic time, you cannot build altars here and there. There was one place to worship, one place to altar. The altar of burnt offering was at the house of God, where God placed his name, at the temple where they went through the wilderness. In Abraham's time, Isaac built a place here. Abraham built a place here. Different places that they went and offered offerings. You cannot do that. In fact is, you can't offer that because that's only under the Levitical priesthood. You can't do that. God's not made you a priest. So they walked in very little light, had great faith. But you know what? He says, the promises to the fathers are confirmed. God will surely, he said. Now, even as sure as promises are, you have to have patience. God's promises and faith require, if you have no patience, if you say, well, if God is going to do it, then I don't believe it. If God doesn't do it now, he doesn't do it right now, then I don't believe God's ever going to do it. And these people get very demanding, you know. I have to have it. I have to have it now. I want it now. If it's now, then forget it. I don't want it. Patience is one of the things. God will surely. Faith on something far into the future. Think about that. He had faith. God's going to take my bones out of here. God will surely take care of you. God will surely bring you out of here. He believed God. You remember Paul? Paul was on that ship. They thought they were going to perish. Paul gets the word from an angel of God saying, don't worry, you're going to be saved. There's not going to be any loss of life. You're going to lose the ship, but no loss of life. So Paul goes running up there. He says, hey, everybody, you know, here's a ship that's bouncing around and three pieces are flying off and the whole ship is, you know, reeling and thrusting up and down in this ocean. And Paul says, be of courage, men. I have faith in God that it'll be exactly like he told me. We're not going to lose any life. Let me read that. This is Acts chapter 27 and verse 25. That was the Common English Bible. Let me read that in the Complete Jewish Bible. So men, take heart, for I trust God and I believe that what I have been told will come true. I believe God. You believe God. You believe God now. You believe God on your deathbed. Joseph was dying. You believe God when you're dying. He believed God. He was dying. I won't be here. I'm dying. Here's what I want from you. God will surely take care of you. God will surely take you out of here to the place that he promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Swear to me that you'll take my bones. He's talking about something he's not seen. He talks about something he will not see. He will not be there. He'll be dead. Gone. His spirit will be there, but he's unconscious. He's, you know, under the dead know nothing. They have no consciousness. So he's talking about, take me. I know this is going to happen. Be sure you take my bones on your bed. If you were on your deathbed, what will you say? Will you believe in the resurrection of the dead? Will you believe in the great time of the kingdom of God? Will you believe in the new heaven and the new earth? Will you believe that there will be coming a time that God will rule the earth, that God will take care of all this, and that everything will be turned upright? Do you have that belief in you? Do you believe if you die, you will live again? And you know what Job said? Job said, if a man die, he asked that question, if a man die, will he live again? All my appointed days, I will wait until my change comes. God's going to change me. And the other thing Job said is, though he slay me, they were blaming it all on God. You know, they have this idea, if there's something wrong with you, you must have done something wrong. And Job said, I didn't do anything wrong. But even though he slay me, I will trust in him. I will continue to believe in God. Joseph said, I'm dying. This is what's going to happen. I believe it. I believe it because God said it. I won't see it now. You have to have patience. The patience of faith. And without patience, how can you have faith? Because faith is the substance of things that you don't see. It's the evidence, okay? It's the evidence. It's the testimony of the things you... It's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of the things you don't see. Joseph was so convicted. He won approval through his faith. A man of faith. A man not afraid of his commitment to God. May we take a look at that example and let it infuse itself in us.